page tests, on the bottom, the last line of page tests. This is part of the conversation that the Rebbe's having with parents and with mechanchim and teachers by way of introduction. After that, he has a conversation with the children, with the students, and then the sefer really begins. So the Rebbe was defining, was helping us understand the meaning of the word chinuch, what chinuch actually is, and that's what we're in the middle of. The idea of chinuch being able, meaning to prepare somebody, to prepare the child, to prepare the individual by drawing out from him his particular kaichus. So the Rebbe continues and explains at the last line of page test. Loyes umonus umlus achinuch anikris pedagogia. Kavaneseinu mezel haros. Page yud. The Rebbe says, the purpose here in the sefer is not to get involved in the methodology of pedagogia. I'm not going to be suggesting ways of developing the intellect of the student. Developing curriculum and helping him understand the meaning of Torah. That's not the point of this sefer. He says, right now, what I'm seeking in this sefer is not the intellect of the Talmud. Well, of course that's important, how to teach and what he's learning, but it's not the point of this sefer. That's not what I'm seeking. Like it's called a Talmud. This sefer is written for kol ha-talmud, for the entirety of the student. As a nefesh, his soul, as a ruach v'haneshama, shel ha-yelad ha-yisraeli, the deeper spiritual essence of a Jewish child, on mechapsim, that's what we're seeking. L'kashran v'lokei Yisrael, and to take the neshama, to take the soul of a Jew and to attach it to the God of Israel. That he should be a Jew that is fully and completely devoted to Hashem in every respect. And this is what I'm seeking to accomplish in this sefer. Every father, every parent, and every teacher knows that the children and the students who are little, when they're little and they're before them, every parent and every teacher knows that lo yishaw bekatnusa, that they're not going to remain little children forever. They're not going to be little children. Rakis gadlu v'yiyu la'anoshim gadolim ha'shonim. They're going to grow and to be older people. And hopefully one day they'll become great in the study of Torah, they'll become gedolim, great people. Nevertheless, this the Rebbe now sees as one of the major problems in parenting and in teaching, what he's going to explain now. That even though the Rebbe and the parent, obviously they know that the child's not going to remain little, but he says, "Mikomakom." Nevertheless, Yeshem Asher Tachlisim Hirak Mashe Neged Einayim Ata. There are parents and teachers whose entire tachlis in dealing with a kid is only the child that they see right now in front of them. In other words, how can I get the kid to understand this? How can I get the child to behave properly? And since these people, the adults, only see children in front of them, their entire goal and objective is to teach them to be good children. To be good children in school, to be good children at home. And all these teachers and parents are trying to do is to infuse the child with a level of Torah and fear of Hashem in accordance, in proportion to the nature of the child who's sitting in front of them. And that's enough. Otherwise, the child understands his material, and he was a good boy today, and that's enough. As the truth is, a teacher or a parent like this, chotehu neged Hashem v'amo, is sinning, it's very strong words, is sinning against Hashem and the Jewish people. What does that mean? Why is that a sin? He's a good boy, she's a good girl, he behaved in class, he did well on his test. Sounds like it's great. A successful day of teaching. At home, the child did what he was supposed to and acted nicely, and had their herits and so on. And the Rebbe says it's a sin against Hashem and the Jewish people. Because the point is that a teacher and a parent has to know that in their presence, even though these are little children right now, that contained within those little children are future tzaddikim, future gedolei Yisrael, the leaders of the Jewish people, the greatest tzaddikim, the holiest people in the world. And the responsibility of a parent, of a teacher, is to be mechanech, as he explained what that means last week, to be mechanech, and to prepare, and to reveal the inner kochus of that future godly Yisrael. Therefore, the way that a parent and the way that a Rebbe, a teacher, should look at the little child is as a gevaldik in the sham, and the sham is gedolus, as somebody that has an unbelievable soul, which is still very young, and still very raw. And that the parent and the Rebbe have the responsibility to cause that neshama gedola, that great soul of the child, that future God will be Yisrael, to blossom, to grow. Therefore he says, Ganonim heim began Hashem, that every parent and every teacher is a gardener in Hashem's garden. That's why I explained this, why it's even called by the Goyim, it's called also kindergarten, a garden of children. The understanding that the responsibility of a teacher, the responsibility of a parent, is not just that there should be a good kid, or not just to impose my way of thinking or my way of life upon a child, but to be able to cause that inner soul, that greatness of spirit, to grow and to develop and to blossom within the child. And you could tell when you meet a teacher like that, or when there's a home like that, you could tell. So he says that parents and teachers are gardeners in Hashem's garden, Abdul Lashama, to work and to guard. Therefore, even if you see, you have in your house a child or in class, a child who seems to be bitter, or midas roz lahem, or a child who has midas roz, who has shlachta midas, who has what's terrible characteristics, yeidu, that you should know. She said, teva shal garini and the shomas of bosar hamalochem. One should know that this is the nature of the seed of the soul, and all of these malachim, of these angels, that morim hei mechanitosam, like the seeds of a delicious fruit tree, that the seeds themselves are bitter. And what you have in front of you, you have here a child who's acting in a terrible way. So what parents and teachers often will do is that they'll touch up, they'll come to the conclusion that this child is this type of a person, and that the child is no good, and that teacher will conduct the class and will relate to that child in such a way. The parents will relate to that child in such a way. Instead of recognizing that even the seed of the most delicious fruit tree, that those seeds are bitter in the beginning. When it's just the beginning, they're very, very bitter. But later on, become filled with nectar, become filled with sweetness. If they're properly nurtured and properly cared for, like the tree. This is a sign that every teacher and every parent should have up in his, all over his house and all over the classroom. There is no absolutely evil nature or quality beyeled misrael in a Jewish child. There is no such thing in a Jewish child, an absolutely evil mida or a nature that is evil. There's no such thing. It can't be. Kaharunu kedosha Yisrael. The holy of Israel, the Jew of our people, have taught us. Marana Baal Shem Tov is Talmid of Achrav Zechasai Mavrach, the Baal Shem Tov and his students after him. Rakshit Srichim Ladas. What do we have to know? We have to realize. Eich Lishamish Behem Ulagadlam. How to treat the child. How to deal with this seed that right now is bitter, but contains within it the potential of the sweetest, most delicious fruit. Lamosho, for instance, im yesh l'fan of Talmud b'midas akshonas shehira. So you have a student in class who is extremely stubborn, and stubbornness is a bad midah. Since we're so used to seeing this in adults, and in the case of an adult, when we see this, we come to the conclusion that this person is someone that has a terrible midah akshanis, and this is an evil trait, and there's something inherently wrong with the person. So because of that, when you see in a child a certain midah akshanis, you come to the conclusion that this is also something evil in the child. When you see that stubbornness. V'soivel ha-melamed mimenu harbe. And the teacher suffers greatly from this child because of his stubbornness. But this Rebbe should think about this. That when this child grows up and he accepts upon himself a life of Torah and serving Hashem, that when that child grows up, how that midah of akshonus, of stubbornness, will translate into what? Into a stubbornness and to a self-sacrifice, to mesiras nefesh and serving Hashem. He's not going to be wishy-washy. He's not going to bend. He's not going to compromise. He's going to be stubborn, but in a holy way. This is the essence of the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. He's not going to be somebody that's easily persuaded, or that because he goes to a place where they behave differently that he's going to start acting like they do. So many people, so many Jews in shul, they act a certain way, and then the second they're at work you would think it's a different person. If you have a tape recorder, you hear the person in the morning davening and learning, it's unbelievable. And then at work you hear somebody talking, if you have a tape recorder, an hour later at work, so they're talking to him and he becomes like that person who's talking to him at work. He changes. He goes to the day, when he comes home, he has a different personality with his wife and kids. And with different friends, he has a different personality. But he's constantly changing. His entire life is Purim, one disguise to another. But the Rebbe says that this child, this Teva, is an action, he has an actionist. That means as a child, it makes you crazy. He's very hard to have in a class. But if the Rebbe realizes, the parent realizes that this, if this is directed properly, and this child is, if this karech is brought out in holiness, and he's a person that becomes more and more attached to this, to Torah and to Tefillah and to mitzvahs and so on, that very same trait of akshanus, of stubbornness, is going to serve him very well in the future. That he's going to be a Jew wherever he goes, and he's not going to be somebody that can be taken away or persuaded, or that he's easily changed because of the people that he's amongst and different things that are going on in the world, but he remains consistent. מכיוון שאיש ישראל כפי שקובו חכמינו זכרם לברכה הוא רק ימאמת דברם כחיימה. That every Jew has the ability to reach this madrega of being kechayma, being like a wall, of being like a fortress, that nothing will change him, that he is who he is, and this is the way that he, and this is the way that no matter where he is, this is how he conducts himself. That takes a tremendous amount of stubbornness. That takes a tremendous amount of hakshanus. Now, if you break the child, if you destroy him, and you try to change his personality, that he's not an action, instead of drawing out from him a purposeful, holy way of using the akshanis, but if you try instead to break the akshanis, you're going to have a broken person. But if you handle the child properly, in every area of Yiddishkeit, he's going to be strong like a fortified wall, like a fortified city. So let's say the parent or the Rebbe sees a child who has a midah of kas, of anger. He has a temper, the child. And the parents of the Rebbe keep on screaming and yelling in their anger that it's not nice that he has such a midah of anger. So, Hein Emes, Shanar, Hamishtamish Atav Midas Kaso, Ra'ad Mahid. There's no question that this midah and the way that the child is using it is terrible. Kas, anger. But because of this, because of what you see in front of you right now, does that give the Rebbe or the teacher or the parent the right to come to a decision, to come to a conclusion, and to put a stamp on him? That he's filled with poison, that there's something poisonous, there's something inherently wrong with him. How quick a parent is to make this decision, how quick a Rebbe is to come to this conclusion. To say that teva, his nature is that he's bad, he's got a bad nature. Wouldn't we laugh at an idiot, at a fool? There's a fool who heard about how delicious an esrog is. And he takes an undeveloped, an esrog that's not yet ripened. He takes the seeds of an esrog and he eats it. The Yitzhak Vayilu of Lamer, and he'll start screaming and yelling, Prima Varsi, you esrog. The esrog is good, but you're crazy, it's poison. The esrog is poison. Hello, Kulon and Ischakalov. Who would laugh at such a person? For Naimerlai, how would we say to him, wait! The esrog hasn't reached its prime. Its inner light isn't yet shining. Its kaiches haven't yet been developed, the esrog. Wait a minute. Hamtein. Kashi is bashalab pribagum. Wait until it becomes ripened, fully ripened. Vazti vokach kama mosok. Then you'll see how sweet it is. Can anybody imagine how a good teacher, a good menahel, a good mechanech, a good teacher, a good principal, how it's possible to take that anger, that kas of the child, and to use it in a productive way, and to draw out the good from the child? Kashiyachter el kirbo, when the Rebbe is able to penetrate into the depths of the child, v'yikarveyu, and draw him near, v'yalad his libo v'nafsho, and you cause his heart and his soul to become inflamed. Shiyim esur mal Hashem, he knows this is a passionate Jew. This little balkas, this little angry kid who doesn't know what to do with this, with the tumult that's inside. He doesn't know what to do with that fire that's inside of him. So what does he do? So he yells and he screams and he carries on and he throws something and he's angry all the time. That's what's going on. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a kalim to deal with all of that fire, with all that passion. But if a Rebbe is able to penetrate to the depths of the child, the makar of him, the yalav is libav nafshi yimusum l'Hashem, to be devoted to Hashem, harei la'eish shamayli yishaper kaza. This is going to turn into a holy fire. This is going to become something which is an eish shamala, a fire that draws him closer and draws other Jews closer to Hashem. Kol ma'isi avoda sheyasa begach la'eish yislavu. Every mice that he does in the service of Hashem will be like fiery coals, like a burning coal. The whole dibur of Hashem yidabul Hashem etarav his tefila, and all of his words when he learns and in davening will be the kol chaytsev lavas aishya. Will boom like what? Like mamish the kol chaytsev lavas aish. That his words will be filled with fire when he davens, when he learns. Ukrakosav harav. And the Rav the Balatanya, Zechor Levracha, wrote b'sidur in the Siddur of the Tanya, b'peirush kegavne, b'tfila mehazoy, by Kabbalah Shabbos, the Mezach of Kabbalah Shabbos. So the Tanya writes there in his Siddur, these are the words of the Balatanya. Hachamimus shabakas, the warmth that is hidden in anger, where does that fire of the temper, of a person's temper, comes from? It comes from the warmth of a Jewish heart. Chamimus shebelayv, the fire that's within the heart. And therefore the Tanya says, any person who by nature has a temper, olul tevel of avol hislavus berish pe'esh hatshuka, he has, and he's completely prepared to draw the nature of his heart, to draw his nature into what? Into a fiery craving and yearning for holiness. Those are the words of the Baal Tanya. Harei mikol shekein, kasher yimtzei ish kazeh, bekerav gufo nafsho eizeh shemetz v'kesem. You take a person who in his nature is a Baal Kaas. He has this temper. Now, right now, again, it's very difficult to deal with, but in the future, this person, he finds within himself that there's something wrong. There's something that he's doing that's not right. Kamakas v'chema yismale. He'll be filled with anger against what? Against that mida that's inside of him. Against that mistake that he made. Against what needs to be corrected. He'll be about kas, but the kas is not going to be used in a negative way. The kas will be used to destroy that which is wrong inside. Whereas a person with less of a temper would say, all right, listen, I have to give this more time. There's no reason to get so upset with this problem, with what's wrong. But here, this person is a balkas, and a balkas will attack. But instead of attacking a friend, or instead of attacking a parent, he's going to attack that chet, that aveira, that sin. He's going to attack that problem. And as Yitzhar HaTov Yargis, and he's going to awaken and animate and excite his Yetzer HaTov, his good inclination. Vesarami Kirbo Yashlich. And he's going to cast away, push away and reject with a temper, with an anger, with a passion, all that is wrong inside of him, his Yetzer HaTov. Not like a calmer person would say to the Yitzhar, please, my entire, my precious friend, please leave me alone today. And if you talk that way to the Yitzhar, it's like, it doesn't go. The Yitzhar is more tkifus. The Yitzhar is strong. So when you talk to the Yitzhar, and you're big Balmidas, you know, you're very big Balmidas, you always talk to everybody in a very sweet and gentle way. Your whole nature is very sweet and gentle. That works for you when it comes to friends and family. But when it comes to your Yitzhar, if you're so gentle, it's not going to work. Because the Yitzhar comes with a tkifus. The Yitzhar comes with strength. The Yitzhar comes with kas, with anger. Vata oyef v'yageya, and you're tired, and you're weak. So a person has to fight against Amalek in such a way. A person has to be angry. A person has to zochas Hashem solach Amalek, not to say, oh, listen, let's forgive and forget. Right? The Yitzhar comes to Yitzhar. You can't be forgiving when it comes to Yitzhar. You can't be forgiving. It has to be relentless, and that's the nature of a Balkas. That's the nature of a Balkas. He doesn't stop, he doesn't give up until he destroys the enemy. whereas a person who's sweet and kind can be much more liberal when dealing with a Yetzer Hara.
So that's really saying not to eradicate stubbornness in the child.
Chas v'shalom. No, the point is not eradicating. That's what most parents and teachers try to do. To just to destroy that midah. Because why? Because anger is disgusting. What's the matter with you? Stubbornness is disgusting. Instead, what this whole Sefer is about, this is just an introduction. The entire Sefer, which is a basic introduction to the Baal Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, the entire Sefer is, how do I take Akshanis and develop it? How do I take a child who's a Balkaz and work with that child specifically to bring out from the child this fire and davening and learning and fighting with his Yetzirah instead of fighting with his brothers and sisters, instead of fighting with a teacher and fighting with himself in a destructive way? How do I draw out that Koach in a positive way? This child who is the Teva is a Balkas, so he will be able to what? Not only he'll be able to destroy that, to be able to destroy that Ra that's within him, that thing that he finds wrong within himself. He says, now when it comes to talking to other Jews, so when he's a kid, he doesn't know how to use this fire, so he might insult people and it's going to be a problem. But when he's older, he's going to be the kind of a person that with a few words, not to insult, he's not going to put down, but with he has such conviction in those few words. Now there's such a passion that's infused into his words that with a sentence, with two sentences, he's going to be able to help people. He's going to be able, that's what the Rebbe is saying. He'll be able to speak simple words. But they'll boil and bubble like a stormy ocean that will come out from him and will wash away the imperfections of other Jews. Not going to use a kid who's saying, I hate you, you're an idiot, and, you know, fighting and screaming. But now it's going to come out, I'll say a Maimah Chazal, I'll say a Pesuk, I'll say over some Torah that he heard or a story, and it's going to be with a brand, with a fire, a Mamish, and it can wash away all the difficulties that another Jew is having. The Garmin Nishmas will also call Choli V'Kesem Yimasov Yehoku, will be able to melt and uproot even the difficulties that are, even those things that are troubling the neshama, the soul of another Jew. And he says the heart is sick with anguish and is worried. And the hair is standing on end. Why? What are we so upset about? He says, what am I so upset about? He says, I'm looking at the young generation, at the youth. How so many of the young people have become kaifrim, have rejected Yiddishkeit altogether. This was something that anybody that tells you that, you know, this is an old thing, that anybody tells you that everybody was so religious in Europe and everybody was perfect, and you know, back in the, if you think that in Warsaw everybody was such a Yirei Shamayim, it was not the case. And there were many, many in that generation, especially after World War I, there were, that kufa, that period, many, many, many young people going away from Yiddishkeit. Going away from Yiddishkeit. They were looking for other causes. They were looking for different things, but many were going away from Yiddishkeit. And Rebbe says, and he looks at the generation, so many of the young people have become kaifim, have become heretics, atheists, now they've rejected Yiddishkeit. But they also, they are still kfirin, and their opinions are filled with kfirin. Ain below emuna. I look at so many of the young people that don't have any emuna. They have no faith. Lo yira, no fear of Hashem. Lo yitar, no terror. Sainim hamis Hashem. Yoytzim. They despise God who created them. Ves Yisrael avodim, and they despise the Jewish people who are God's servants. Minahale veroshe hayeshivas nimtzayim veroshe merubam besoch yeshivas hamis almideim. He says the menahalim, the principals, and the heads of the yeshivas, who spend most of their time in the yeshivas together with their students. Asher l'tzareinu rak bachuri chem et neged einehem. And who do the rabbis see, the ones that remain in yeshiva, and they see wonderful boys sitting in yeshiva, the ones who are learning, those are the good kids, so to speak. Those are the ones who are learning, that's what they see in yeshiva. Misnachemim leimer, so they comfort themselves, and they say, it's still going on, more than ever, they comfort themselves and they say, hey Emes, it's true that there are many, many non-religious Jews nowadays. Avlo Alman Yisrael, thank God the Jewish people have not been abandoned. Gam b'nei tzion ha-misyonim ba'alocha v'mashem levavim. Look at my students. Look how beautiful my students are. I have 12 boys. Look how they're learning. Isn't it beautiful? Even though I know that there are, within the radius of a few blocks, 120,000 who would never look into a sefer. But look how wonderful my boys are. But the Rebbe says, let these Rebbes, let these Rosh Hashivas stick their heads out of the Chutz Me'arba Amos Yeshiva, saying, let them stick their heads four Amos out of their own Yeshivas. And that's in Warsaw at the beginning of the 20th century. Can you imagine? Now you have to stick your head out of the Yeshiva, they're walking up and down the halls in the Yeshiva also. He says, let these Rosh Hashivas stick their heads out of the yeshivas for Amos. The Yerunah Hamon HaGadol HaChof Shemachmot. So let them look at the vast multitudes of completely secular, non-religious Jews. So in this Malam Yichorbonos Yerushalayim, that means that, that's the expression of Chazal, that Rome is built, or Tzor is built from the destruction of Yerushalayim. Meaning that the multitudes of non-religious Jews that fill the streets of the city are the ones who are supposed to be in yeshiva learning Torah. There's a churban that's taking place, he says, in the world of Torah, and the crowds and the multitudes on the streets of the city who are totally abandoned Yiddishkeit. You see that Rome is being built. It's from the destruction of Yerushalayim that it's being built. Bate Medrash, Shahim Malayim Lomdei Torah Nisrokna. The Bate Medrash that were once filled with Jews learning Torah are empty. V'sachtam Nismalo Agudas V'chaburus Hashematarosam Kfirim Husa Shal Torah Rachmanos. And instead you could see groups, you could see theaters, right? Theaters and bars. Poetry societies, you know, literary groups, museums, and so on that are filled. The Bais Medrash is empty, and these places are filled with groups of Jews whose entire purpose is kfira. All the socialists and the Buddhists and the Zionists that were these groups that were developing in those days, which were groups that filled with kfira, with rejection of Yiddishkeit, rejection of Torah mitzvahs. And these were largely people, 95% of them, who had fathers with long beards and payas. And whose mothers were going around, you know, with babushkas, and that they were saying tilim all day. And then the streets were filled with these Jews who had left Yiddishkeit. And their children and grandchildren are all the non-religious Jews, and the ones who are intermarrying, it's all from them. Says, in the old days, the Bali Malacha, the working people, the merchants, even though they weren't Lomdei Torah, they weren't scholars, still, they were good, faithful Jews. They were good Jews. But now when you look at the youth these days, they've wandered away and they've fallen into a dark pit. He's like, what are we crazy? We're going to be satisfied with a tiny little group of students that are in yeshiva? These few that are in the yeshiva? What do you think? That the couple of kids that you have in yeshiva, this is Am Yisrael Kulo? This is the Jewish people? This is the Jewish people? You hear people that talk about Europe before. Yes, they're like, in all of Lithuania, how many guys were learning in yeshivas? In all of Lithuania, how many guys were in yeshivas? Maybe 1,000? maybe 1,000. Like, and it's the same thing here. You know, I always think of it, people like, you have these, the people that are doing the PR for the, you know, for the, like the Bali Tshuva, all the Kiruv organizations. You would think that they're like, are 100,000 Bali Tshuvas learning in Or Sameach, and in Kol Yaakov, and in Shayoshev, and in Chabad. You think they're like hundreds of thousands. What are you talking about altogether? 300? Not even. Go to the yeshivas, go. I mean, they have very nice brochures and stuff. Go to see what you're talking about. How are we talking about altogether? The Baal Tshuva movement. There is no movement. What kind of movement? There's a much bigger movement towards Jones Beach in July. A movement. There's all PR, it's an Irish guy. There's no movement. What kind of movement? This is Am Yisrael. It says Am Yisrael. And they tell you, like, Eretz Yisrael, like, you know, the people, this lady called up for, she wanted to give money from the shul for anything. She says that they have right now in Eretz Yisrael a million Bali Tshuva. I said, well, do me a favor, lady. Do me a million Bali Tshuva. I believe that there are probably 3.5-4 million people who have Hihuri Tshuva, who inside their hearts want to change. But don't start with this, you know, this business of the mass, you know, the multitudes are all, you know, coming back, and, you know, then they show you these films that they have, you know, and everybody got this guy with long hair, some Israeli guy goes up crying, and the Rebbe comes and cuts off his hair, and then come on, you know, dealing with the idiots, this is what's going on, the whole Yiddish, there's a whole Klal Yisrael is being transformed. You just have to walk on the streets of Tel Aviv for 5 minutes, I mean, this is Am Yisrael. Go to Eilat, go to Netanya, just take a trip around to Israel. We'll be out of our minds because you go to Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, so you think this is Klal Yisrael. This is the whole Am Yisrael. Because we stayed out, like, you know, we grew up this way. Because, oh, look at, you know, we show the children, look, everybody's religious. You see that? If you go a block away from Central Avenue, and you go look in Barbok and Flatbush and Muncie, this is Klal Yisrael. What is this? It's a tiny fraction of Klal Yisrael. It's a piece. I'm sure a piece of Klal Yisrael. And even then, even here, we have all kinds of craziness and services. If this would at least be authentic Yiddishkeit, there's also not much happening. But this is Am Yisrael. This is Am Yisrael. What's the Rebbe saying in his time? Are we fooling ourselves? He says these Rosh Hashivas, they comfort themselves saying, look what a wonderful, look, this one finished its Masechta, and I have it, and there's such good nice boys in my yeshiva. That's Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, so those boys, thank God. I mean, that's terrific, but that's not Klal Yisrael. Im zehu ha'am ha'yisrael kulo. What happened, he said, to the Jewish people? 150, 200 years ago, 98-99% of the Jews were Shema Torah Mitzvahs, were observant Jews. What happened to Klal Yisrael? What's going on? Now we come to the ones that are in yeshiva. He says, okay, so the Rosh Yeshiva is proud that he has here in the yeshiva, my yeshiva. He's got 30 guys, 40 guys in his yeshiva. So the Rebbe says, can we really be completely secure with the boys that are in yeshiva? Are we fooling ourselves to think that we've done all that we have to do? To see to it that when they grow up, they're going to be Elohim, God-fearing Jews? Honest, hard-working, God-fearing people. Okay. The boys that already are older and they've reached the higher grades, and we see that they're, you know, that it's going well. And certainly those that have already reached the level of hara, where they're able to teach Torah, and they're able to pass and halacha, they've already developed to a much more mature type of a Yiddishkeit. And they fill themselves with Torah and with Avodah. So the Rebbe says, but not completely, he says, but we feel more secure with these Chavra. And this looks like, these look like they're going to be okay. They look like they're going to be okay. Now that's also not true. That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. There are many, many people that when they were in yeshiva, and even when they were in the kollel, they were like from the Choshuva guys, and the Choshuva guys, and then years later, you meet them, you see, it's nothing. So we're more comfortable that Bez Hashem, Shishara, Behechel, Kodesh, or Bevodas HaKodesh, that they will remain throughout their lives in the Vehechel Kotzer, Hashem's holy place. Will all of the children reach this higher level? These higher classes? There are so many of the little ones that they're not going to be able to come to that higher level of learning. And either willfully or against their will, they're going to have to go out to business. They're going to have to go to work. They're not going to reach that level of sitting and learning for many years and so on. All the law, they'd have to go to work. Chazal already said that 1,000 will come to the yeshiva, but maybe one will come out who is a person as a Talmud Chacham. Maybe one from the 1,000 will go in, maybe one will come out of Talmud Chacham. And how can we be certain? That when this boy leaves yeshiva, Allah has man kotzer lo yispakuv lo yichalus as Shabbos chasoshom, that he won't turn into a person as a machal Shabbos. That he won't go against everything. As we see with our own eyes, it's happening all the time. Why aren't we trying to figure something out? Forget about the ones that are outside yeshiva. What about the ones that are inside yeshiva? Are we doing enough? Are we thinking about how to reach into their kishkis, into their neshamas? He says, when you look out on his feet and you see all these older kids or these adults that are Mechalel Shabbos, they were all once by us. We had them once. Meaning that they were once part of the Torah world. Didn't he go to our cheder? He was once in our yeshiva. How can we leave him? How can we just reject him? How can we let this kid leave our yeshiva? Miblik shoro, so even if he has to leave early, meaning at a younger age, how can we let him go? Miblik shoro, so without tying him up as nafshon, his soul, Hashem uterosu bialduso, when he's a child, to tie him up to the Torah, to Hashem. In such a way that v'yiskayim gavand eis ziknuso, that it will last with him, it will stay with him for the rest of his life. We're not succeeding. We're failing, he says in this. We're failing terribly in this. That you have boys that when they're in the yeshiva, they're learning and so on, but then afterwards it's finished. There's no shaykhs. Nothing was really changed inside of them. Nothing was changed. We didn't get to their neshamas. We didn't get to their hearts, to their neshamas. And therefore, once they're out of yeshiva and they see this and they see that, they say, "Well, I wasted my time in yeshiva. I could have had so much fun. I could have enjoyed myself." The Chalal, he says in general, we are in the habit of looking at this, at the youth that are turning away from Yiddishkeit in such a way. We in general blame the youth. It's their fault. That's the way people, it's their fault. This is a rotten kid. And look at my other son is such a nice bentor. Look at my other students, they're so wonderful. So this, you know, what are you going to do? There's a rotten apple in every bunch. Wait a minute, this kid's no good. It's not my fault, it's his fault. Right? They're the only ones that are to blame. The kids are to blame. We're clean, innocent. The adults are innocent. There's a lot that the Torah could have said about Avraham Avinu. A lot the Torah could have said. But the one thing that Hashem, out of all the millions of good things and nice things that Hashem could have said about Avraham Avinu, what did Hashem praise? What was the greatest praise that Hashem had for Avraham Avinu? Ki yedati, Hashem says, I know him as such a person, that he has taught his children and the members of his household to continue upon the path of Hashem. That's the greatest praise that Hashem has for a Jew. Kol dor v'dor b'Yisrael. Every generation. Every Jewish generation is a tabas b'shal shalos hayuchsin shalanu. It's a link in the chain that goes all the way back to Rosh Hashanah by Avraham Avinu, that goes all the way back to Avraham Avinu. The seif of Mashiach Tekein, the sheyav of Mehemimenu, and that chain that will continue on to Mashiach Tekein. And kol dor mekabel amuna, tayv yirum hador shekadma. You can't say that all the kids are messed up. It's the kids' fault, because every generation is linked to the earlier generation, and it's a continuation of a chain that comes from Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu gave over Yiddishkeit. And there's something wrong if we're not giving it over to the children. It's not just the children's fault. Your service of Hashem, your avodas Hashem, was meant to be given over to the generation that follows you. This is the way that the Jewish people have survived. Thank God, even in our generation, the chain hasn't stopped. We're trying to give the Torah to the next generation. But let's take a look. Let's think. Really, the Rebbe asks, is it only the children that are guilty, the young people? Is it their guilt? Is it their blame? Aren't they also descendants of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Don't they also have holy Jewish souls? The Rebbe says, why should we deceive ourselves, fool ourselves? The Teruts want to receive it from us. He's no good. I'm offering the Torah, but he doesn't want it. Because they refuse to accept it from me. He says, there is blame, there is guilt by the young generation, and that's what he's going to talk about to the kids. But their problem is, because they more and more they're refusing to listen. This is the Rebbe says, look, if we take a look at these criminals that are walking on the meeting, he's saying that, of course, he's just being sarcastic. He says, if we look at these who we consider to be the criminals, the poisha, these who are now non-religious, if these were people with the same problems who lived in the earlier generations, right, who the B'ditzi would have met, or the Rebbe of Zushi would have met, you think they wouldn't have heard from the B'ditzi? You think these people wouldn't have been able to receive Torah from those people? You don't think that in those days, in the earlier years, that the young people didn't have difficulties, they didn't have problems, and yet they were able to grow into tzaddikim, into great people? Call upon Yehudim, shoot them, them are released. They can be simple Jews, but Elohim, God-fearing, simple, believing Jews. Just like he says that those young people grew up amongst adults who are more God-fearing, more devoted to Hashem than us. In this respect also, in educating the next generation, the early generations had a much, much greater understanding of what needed to be given over. So the easiest thing is to just blame the internet, or to blame television, and to blame society, and to blame the kid, and to blame everything except oneself. Even in our times, each generation has its own difficulties, its own struggles, its own yitzhar. But even in our times, if Yiddishkeit would be given over the way that the Rebbe is going to teach us in the Sefer, it's possible to produce tzaddikim and kedoshim in our homes, in our schools, and to reach out to other Jews, to reach out to Jews who are no longer observant. My wife once told me that she was at a shiur, and there was an old rebbetzin, a survivor of the Holocaust, that said something that shook her up very much. She said, from those, I'm trying to remember, from those women who are moisa nefesh, who are on such a level to go into ice water, to go to mikveh, into ice water, to keep the mitzvahs of taras mishpacha, of the family, came children who were prepared to go into the crematorium, into the fires of Kiddush Hashem. It's a very strong thing. It shook my wife up a lot. Can you imagine nowadays a mikveh that doesn't have the right temperature? Oh. Whatever it is, like, you know, 74.2. And I'll say, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not what I learned in my college class. There's no cold mikveh. Not for me. I'm sorry. So how are you going to produce Jews who are fiery Jews from such cold parents? That's the problem. That's the problem. If parents are cold, then the children are freezing. That's a klal gadol. It's always one notch down. It's always a notch, usually more than one notch. Usually a big drop. But the Rebbe is saying is that you don't think the kids had problems in the old days? But they saw their parents were on fire with Yiddishkeit. And when you have people who are on fire with Yiddishkeit, and they give it over in the way that we're going to talk more about, learn more about, so the kids were balekas, the kids had problems, so the kids are kids.
With fairness to us, I mean, it's a little bit of a disadvantage that we have things like that, so much change, we don't have to go into cold mikveh. So how do you... I'm saying...
We have to seek other ways of being moisa nefesh. So nowadays, thank God, so the person doesn't have to go into cold mikveh. Nowadays, maybe getting up for minyan every day is like going into a freezing cold mikveh. Maybe that, or maybe going to a warm mikveh nowadays is like going to a freezing cold mikveh. Maybe it's like what it was to go to a cold mikveh. Obviously, there's much more of a hestapanim, living through a difficult time. So even the smaller things now require much more mesiras nefesh. So getting up for minyan on time, and going to and trying to keep a chavrus, and trying to go to a seder, and to learn Torah every night, it's mesiras nefesh. But a child instinctively knows, everyone, we should all be blessed with good, healthy children, that every child knows when they have parents who are Meister Nefesh, and when their parents are not Meister Nefesh. Every kid knows, my father and my mother are Meister Nefesh for Yiddishkeit or not. They wouldn't answer the question if you asked them, they'd say, what are you talking about? What do you mean? They're religious. The kids, you know, but they know inside of themselves whether their parents are really devout, God-fearing people, or they're just playing the game. The kids have their parents touched up. Mamish, if they'd be therapists, they'd be getting paid a lot of money. The kids have us pegged completely. They can tell. They know which parent is on fire, which parent is on, which was on fire, which one is ice. They know 100%. And then it translates into things later on, into difficulties later on. And then the parents blame the kid. They look at my kid. What's wrong with my kid? What's wrong with my kid? I go to shul on Shabbos. How many times have parents told me that? I go to shul on Shabbos. How come my kid doesn't want to go to shul? You go to shul on Shabbos. What does that mean? What do you do? When do you go? What time? What do you do once you get there? Your kid's watched you for the last 10, 15 years. Your kid's watched you. He knows when you get up, he knows that you don't hurry to get to shul. He sees you sitting around the house, shul starts, whatever it is, 8:30, quarter to 9, 9 o'clock, he sees whatever shul starts, he sees you sitting around, having a little bit of a breakfast, schmoozing a little bit, hanging out, taking your time. Then he sees once you get to shul, you're able to chop a schmooze, and then he watches you, how you stand there with your siddur, upside down, and your eyes half closed. And then you don't understand, how come my kid doesn't want to go to shul? I don't get it. I go to shul. So you think that's going to just be, you want your kid to be exactly like you. So the same way that I go to shul, but I couldn't care less about being there, I would at least expect my kid to go and not care about it. That's the least he can do. I do that. But you have to be an imbecile to think that. The kids are much more honest. See, the adults play along because you want to be part of the firm society. That's what I just said last week. I was talking to you about this and I was talking to some wonderful chaverim yesterday about this. That you see that the kids that are not on the derech. That are off the derech, these kids, and I mentioned this two or three weeks ago, that most of them, the ones that I've met, they're unbelievable neshamas. You know what their problem is? I told you this a few weeks ago, the problem is that they're honest. That's the problem. They're honest, they see through the faker eye of their parents, they see through the hypocrisy of many of their teachers, and they're saying, I'm not going to be a faker. But if you give them real Yiddishkeit, these would be the biggest Jews on earth. And they can be, and mitzvah they will be. But they just don't buy into the game. They're not going to just go through, do it by heart. Many of the adults just go. They'll ask the kids, like, why do you? Many times these kids will just ask their father, they ask the mother, what are you doing? Why do you do that? Like, what? I want you to put on film. Why? Why do you put on film? Well, your grandfather is what he thought. Well, no, why do you put on film? I don't think that doesn't. I see you put on film for 10 seconds, you take them off when you're home. I see you don't bother. What do you mean? Why should I do that? I'm not going to be a faker like you. That's what they're thinking. And by the time they don't say that when they're 9, 10, 11, because they're afraid. But then when they're 15, 16, 17, they'll say it straight. You're fakers. I'm not going to fake. I'm not buying into it.
That's
exactly it. When they get to Texas, they see Yiddishkeit, they see Jews that are on fire. You see that they mamish. They become inflamed with it. There's nothing. It's not the kids. The kids are only the Jewish kids. They're beautiful children. This is in every generation. When the children see Mesiras Nefesh by parents. If they see Mesiras Nefesh, especially a father, when it comes that the father's learning, they see a father that's learning, they see a mother that's davening, and they see chsodim, and they see a strength of character and avoda with Mesiras Nefesh. So that's what the Rebbe's saying. He says it's easy enough now to just point fingers at the kids and to blame all the young people. You see, look at this, look what you're doing, look what you're doing. I wasn't like that, and that's not how we were when we were children. So the kid could say, listen, I got news for you, your father wasn't like you. That's what the kids could say. How come you don't want to be like me? So the kid could say, if my father was like your father, I would be a good Jew like you. But I'm stuck with you. You're my father. So I'm turning out even less than you. Even less. That's how it generally goes. That's the usual mahalach. But nowadays, what Israel mentioned a minute ago, is such the phenomenon of these days where their kids are making complete turnaround in the opposite direction. And then the saddest thing of all is then when you get sometimes a parent who rejects that new way of the child. That's the saddest thing of all. Like here, the kid's mom is turning things around. And many of the parents feel uncomfortable with that. Like, well, you're more religious than me? So I understand that before you were telling me you're upset, how come I don't want to go to shul? Now you're telling me that I'm a fanatic because I always want to go to shul. The kids don't know what to do. So that's why many of them just say to their parents, they say, oh, forget it. You know, I'll pay taxes, just leave me alone. Whatever the taxes mean, you know, I'll be the good son or the good daughter. But they don't buy into it. They don't get where the parents are coming from, because really the parents don't know where they're coming from. So the kids just look at the parents. The father's worried the kid has to be more religious. So go ahead, just make him more religious. The kid comes back really religious. The father says too religious. And this is what it is. This happens all the time. I've been dealing with this for years. Take it easy. What's the matter? I just want you to be the person that gets up and goes to shul at 9:20, chops the shul, says a little shmoneh esrei, talks for an hour about how good the kiddush was, goes to the kiddush club or something by haftarah, has some schnapps, comes home, makes a couple of cracks at the table. He'll excuse me, belches out one zmirus or something, and gets shluffin. And like the story that they say about they say this woman comes to the Rebbe, that pretty much sums it up, huh? This is your life. The woman comes to the Rebbe. Yeah, everybody knows this. That the woman comes to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, what am I going to do with my son? So she says, what's the matter? So she gets up every morning. and he goes to the mikveh, and after the mikveh, he says, tell him for half hour, then he learns for an hour, then he goes to shul, he sits and he learns all day, and then again with a mincha, takes him, Rebbe, what am I going to say? Rebbe says, well, what's the matter? That's what I do also. She says, but Rebbe, he means it. I'm afraid, he means it. So, I know you just do it because it's the business, but he really is sincere. Alright, so then the parents, where did they leave the kid? The kid's mom is confused. Mom is confused. So first, I'm not religious enough, and then I get all these people that I tell you, I have to miss God. I work on myself so hard to be able to talk, to try to be able to deal with these people. Like I get calls every week from, you know, especially it's amazing. There are people like here in our community who if you give them $10,000, they wouldn't step foot into the shul. There's no doubt. As long as you're davening, I don't care. You're davening here, you're davening there. $10,000 every week. I get at least six. I'm not exaggerating. Six or seven calls. Can you talk to my son? Can you talk to my daughter? So I said, what's the matter? Go talk to, take him to your rabbi. What are you coming to me? I'd like to learn a little bit, and I have my own chaverim over here. What are you hacking me? So where does that come from? Maybe I become a member. I said, no, you don't get it. I'm not interested in your membership. That has nothing to do with it. I don't care where. And it could be a Jew that comes from out of Mongolia. It doesn't make a difference to me. You're a Yid, and if I can, I'll talk to your child. But now all of a sudden, right now you're worried because you see that you caught your kid smoking Shabbos, and you caught your kid that the kid doesn't put on tefillin. So until now, your Yiddish guy was fine. You thought it was working for you, my friend, right? I don't say this is what I'm thinking. But until now, you're a Yiddish guy. It was working, why? He goes along with it. He's going. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's going to be like me. Oh, now you found him smoking in Shabbos. Gevalt. So now it's not enough that he should just... Now it's not enough that he should hear some speech about Palestinians on Shabbos. Or you know, whatever. Now it's not enough. Now what? Now you want we should introduce him to the Baal Shem Tov. Until now, the Baal Shem Tov wasn't good. And now we want to bring the Baal Shem Tov into his life. Of course, because why? Because he's a Jew and he doesn't want to see, it's a Yid, he doesn't want to see his child, God forbid, go off the path, go off the path. But you understand that the richness in it is mind-boggling. I mean, not the richness, the stupidity. The chalaimis that people have. The chalaimis. Either that, or they figure they just, you know, the whole thing is, we'll send to Eretz Yisrael. Send to Eretz Yisrael. And then they'll do like it's like, you know, you put him through one of these car wash, you put him through a car wash, he'll come out, a nice Jewish boy, wear a yarmulke, so this sits aside a little bit, don't worry, and in 6 months he'll put the tits back in. The husband tells the wife, it's okay, don't worry. He'll go to college, he'll meet a nice girl, he'll put his tits in. Don't worry about it. But at least he's putting on film, and he doesn't smoke on Shabbos, and this, and we've done our job. This is Rahmanis, this is. It's Rachmanis on the parents, it's Rachmanis on the teachers. And it's not new, it's exactly what everybody's talking about. That unless you're on fire, you can't give over to your children that passion for Yiddishkeit. That's all. It doesn't work. And everybody says that just to blame them. He says if they had grandparents or great-grandparents, even with those problems, they would have come out. They would still come out Tzaddikim and Gedolim. It's not just the kids' fault. Of course there's problems with the kids. But it's our fault. It's our fault. Mitzvah will continue next time.